Turning to the book of Psalms this morning, and we're at the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37. And as I look through all the great commentators and expositors of the Psalms, I think they're all unanimous about the fact that David penned this psalm. You see, there are arguments about some of the psalms. Some of the expositors think that Solomon penned some of these psalms, and he might well have done so. Some of them think that Jeremiah penned some of the psalms. But they're all in unity about this one, that it was David himself that penned this psalm. So we have no trouble about the writer this morning. And we have no trouble at all about when it was written. None whatsoever. You cast your eye down the psalm at verse 25, it says, I have been young, and now I'm old. This was written by the psalmist David when he was an old man. I want you to get that very carefully now. So you can see who the writer is, and you can sort of tell when it was written, when he was old. I think it was written somewhere about 1,000 years before Christ. And if you put 2,000 to that, the writing before you just now is 3,000 years old almost. And that must make it very indeed unique. Just think that you're looking at something, going to read something, study something, glean from something that was written almost 3,000 years ago. Written by David, written when he was an old man. But we not only know who wrote the psalm and when it was written, but you can see why it was written. It was written because of certain things that were happening. You see, wicked men and evil men had gathered round the old man, and certain things were happening. See the first verse? It is God speaking to him, and then because of inspiration speaking through him. And God is saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And if you go through the psalm, you'll find again and again, look at verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. See verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. It was written just because of the circumstances of those days. When David was old, then these wicked men, these evil workers, had gathered round. And God is talking to him, and God is going to comfort him. It's very interesting to go through this book and see some of the great servants of God. And when they became old, it was then that the devil gathered round them. You remember when Paul talked of being Paul the aged. That's what he said when he wrote the letter to the Philemon. He said, I'm Paul the aged. It was then that he had to stand alone. He says, at my first answer, No man stood with me. He was arrested and brought before Nero. And as he stood in the dock, he looked round to see who would be kind to him, and there was no man to stand with him. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching should be fully known. You'll find that when John was an old man, he's on the Isle of Patmos, he's a prisoner, he's alone. They tell me that the book of Revelation was written somewhere in A.D. 96. If that is true, then that's 63 years after Calvary even. That makes John a very old man with a beard tottering on his feet. It was then that the enemy came. Yes, you'll find if you go through this. But while the storm was howling here, David was old, and the enemy was active, God gave him 5 steps to take in the storm. And I want to leave these 5 steps with you this morning, because maybe someday you'll be in a storm. Maybe the enemy will come near to you. Maybe it'll come your turn. And maybe you'll remember the steps. They'll do you good. But watch the psalm carefully. God is talking to David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here's the first step. Trust in the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying. That's the first step. Just get it correctly now. Trust in the Lord. See the second step in the fourth verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the second one. Because you're to trust in the Lord when the storm howls. And you're to delight thyself also in the Lord. And then the next step is in the next verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now that's a little bit more difficult than even trusting. That's a very special thing which I shall expound for you this morning. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then the next step is in the next verse, or verse 7 rather. Rest in the Lord. Did you see those four? They're all together. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And if you go away down the chapter at verse 34, the Lord put another one to that, and it says, wait on the Lord. And now we've got these 5 steps for saints in the storm. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait on the Lord. 5 very valuable steps. And underline them and mark them and remember where they are. They're all in the 37th Psalm, penned by David when he was old, when the enemy was coming in like a flood tide. You know, this is very interesting that God should say to David, trust in the Lord. You can go through this book of Psalms, and David takes you in the 28th Psalm, you needn't turn to it, he takes you to the spot where he first trusted in the Lord. He says, the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in him. He goes away back to the very moment when his heart, as a young boy, trusted in the Lord. And how many of us can go back there this morning? Almost all of us. Going back to the spot. Mind you, it's not the signing of a card or the nodding of your head that saves you. Oh no. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's with the heart that man believeth. Not your head. He says, my heart trusted in him. And I can go back to the moment, you know. 45 years ago almost, when my heart trusted in him. Now, when David says that, that was an act of faith. I want you to get that a little bit. Because you see, you go back to the moment of your salvation. Liz came and told me all the night saved. And her chains fell off and she's here. Bless you, dear. Yes. Wanted to get the hold of this. That was an act of faith. Oh, but life goes on and on and on, and down into the valleys and over the mountains and through the storms and the dark nights and the weary days. And it has to become an attitude of faith. That's trusting in the Lord every moment of every day. That's different, you know. That's walking by faith. The act becomes an attitude. God doesn't want us to trust in princes, nor in the sons of men whose breath is in their nostrils. David had the mighty experience of trusting in the Lord with all his heart one day, and then going on to this attitude of trusting God for everything. You know, when as a young shepherd boy he met the lion and the bear who came to steal the lambs of the flock, this little fellow on his bare feet went out to meet them with his faith in the Lord. And when as a young stripling, when all Israel and all the warriors in Israel ran away, you remember he went down into the valley to meet Goliath. And the boy said to the giant, thou comest to me with a spear and with a staff, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Oh, he was trusting in the Lord. And when his son Absalom stole the throne and edged him out, I'll tell you, when he left Jerusalem on his bare feet in the middle of the night and went over the mountain, he was still trusting in the Lord. Still trusting. This is what the Lord is saying to trust in the Lord. Every moment of every day, in everything, all the time. You know, I think it's a great thing to get the hold of this. If the storm howls, trust in the Lord's love, would you? That's a bit you want to get the hold of. Because you know his love is wonderful. You see, his love is like himself. It never changes. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. When we wait at the table this morning, we'll go to Calvary and we'll see him stripped stark naked on the cross. And we'll remember this great fact that the Son of God loved me. And he did love me. And he gave himself for me. And he couldn't have loved me more. He will never love me less. All the hypocrites that I have met will not change his love. Not for a moment. He loves me. I want you to get the hold of this thing this morning. Trust in his love. It's just the same at this moment as when he died for me on Calvary. I'm persuaded, you know, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ. Oh, that we could trust in the Lord's love. Oh, that we could trust in the Lord's ingenuity. Let me use that word very carefully. I mean that the Lord is so wonderful that He can work all things together for good. I believe this with all my heart, and I stand there this morning. I don't care how the devil works. The Lord will work all things together for good to them that love Him. You see, we need to trust in the Lord's ingenuity, in the Lord's ability, if you like, in the Lord's sovereignty, if you like. Nothing gets out of hand with Him. He will work all things together for my good, and He'll do it for yours too, if you trust Him. And we need to trust not only in the Lord's love, and in the Lord's ability and sovereignty and ingenuity. We need to trust in the Lord's promises, don't we? Oh, He has made so many promises to me that I have them all in the book, thought of style. Like a checkbook, heaven's checkbook. I will never leave thee. It's true, you know. I don't want to go through the promises. I want to go on with these steps. Supposing I pass the second one by just now, delight thyself also in the Lord, and come to this difficult one. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, I'll tell you why this is difficult. Because this word commit is not the ordinary Hebrew word that's used for commit. It's a very distinct and different one. It's one that means rolling. This word is translated rolling instead of commit. It's one that means rolling the pathway of thy future into the lap of the Lord and leaving it there. All that is in one word. Rolling the pathway of your future into the lap of the Lord and leaving it there. That's a mighty thing, you know. Oh, that we were all able to do it. Oh, that we could commit our way unto the Lord. Oh, that we could roll the pathway of our future into His lap this morning and really leave it there. The old hymn writer knew this when he penned, "Yes, He understands. Yes, He understands. All His ways are best. Here He speaks to us. Come, my son, and rest. Whether sad or joyful, Jesus understands." And there's a bit I left out which says, "Leave the unknown future in the Master's hands." That's it. That's committing. That's taking it, you know. Lifting it and rolling it into His lap and leaving it there. That's what Abraham did. Abraham was away out in Ur of the Chaldees. And you remember that God came to him when he was a heathen. Actually, when he was a devil worshipper. I proved this one night in the Bible class. And he called this man out of this darkness of devil worship. And he said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And Abraham, it says, when he was called by faith, went out not knowing whither he went. He rolled the whole unknown future into the lap of the Lord and trusted Him, committed his way to the Lord. That's what Abraham did. Let me tell you, that's what Enoch did. Oh, the day that the child was born, Methuselah was born, God came in and God gave the name to the child, Methuselah. And it just meant, when this child dies, the flood will come. He was given a revelation to the father of the child. And at the same time he said to him, not only when this child dies will the flood come, but I'll translate you before it. And Enoch, yea, he committed his way to the Lord. He began to walk with the Lord from that day forward. Oh, that's what Enoch did. I'll tell you this, that's what Caleb did. Caleb went out, saw the giants, saw the high hills, saw the difficulties. Oh, some of them ran back. No, he said, let's go on. And God looked round and said, my servant Caleb hath followed me fully. He had committed the whole future to the Lord. I'm God through with you, Lord. Oh, yes, let's get this bit quite settled this morning. You see, if you're going to commit your way unto the Lord, you'll need the faith of Abraham, and you'll need the simplicity of Enoch, and you'll need the guts of Caleb. Wonder, is that you this morning? Let's go back to, delight thyself also in the Lord. It's a mighty word, you know. You know, Israel had a habit of arguing with the Lord. When Malachi said to Israel, God loved you, saith the Lord, yet they immediately said, wherein hath God loved us? They questioned it. And the moment that Malachi said, ye have despised God's name, they immediately shouted, wherein have we despised thy name? And you'll find that they began to question the Lord in everything. And when the Lord made a statement, they began to question it. Somebody argued with me just the other day. And I said, you know, if you have anything against your brother, the book saith, the Lord saith, go and get it between him and thee alone. But he says, no, we're changing it. And in these days, they change the word of the Lord. Change it. They're allowed to change it. Change it for their own ideas. My dear friends, this is a serious matter. We dare I tell you what they did in Isaiah's day. Isaiah says this. God says, they seek me early. They want blessing from me. They look into my face, they say, wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? They're coming before God, they say, do you not see us? You know, it's all a pretense. It's all a bluff, it's all a dramatic scene. It's all acting before God. It's not right, you know. Just a put on show. God says, you know, I want to tell you what you're doing. I want to say this to you, he said. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and shall honor me, and not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And nothing less will do. Bluff won't do. You only delight yourself in the Lord when you do what God wants you to do, and say what God wants you to say, and be what God wants you to be, and your dramatic bluff is hypocrisy. My dear friend, when the man stands up in the temple or the tabernacle and he's gone to pray, but it's not prayer. He's just shutting his eyes. He's putting on a real pretense. I'll tell you, it's to be seen of men. You don't think he's delighting himself in the Lord, do you? I hope you don't. You know, when Ananias and Sapphira stood up straight and the Holy Ghost was working in the place, and they brazenly told lies, I don't think that you think now that they were delighting themselves in the Lord, do you? Because God just came down on them, that's all. I'll tell you, friend, if you draw near to the Lord with your lips and your heart far from Him, you couldn't delight yourself in Him. In no way. You see, if you want to get this delight right, you'd have to go back and see the priests in the tabernacle. And here they step into this inner compartment, and there's the table of showbread, and there's the candlestick, and there's the golden censer. You know, they're working with the things of Christ. The table of showbread is typifying Christ, our sustenance. The candlestick is typifying Christ, our guidance. The golden censer with its fragrance going off all the time is typifying Christ, our fragrance. And when you're taken up continually, solely, completely with Christ and not your own miserable ideas, then you're delighting yourself in the Lord. Let's get it now. Because if you want to get through the storm, here's your pathway. Pathway is trust in the Lord. Your pathway is roll your unknown future into the lap of the Lord. Your pathway is delight thyself in the Lord. You know, I want you to get this bit. Rest in the Lord. Oh, you know, that's a mighty thing. Because, you know, rest is really wonderful. We're not talking now about tablets, you know. A lot of the believers work like this. This is the only way it seems they can get rest. Yes, it's this drug therapy. Oh, what a pity of some of you. Drug therapy, that's what it is. Sometimes it's electric therapy. Sometimes it's speech therapy, an old fella trying to talk you out of something. I think there's spiritual therapy, you know. There's a rest for the people of God. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. Ah, that's an experience, you know. Lying down in the green pastures of the Word of the Living God. Do you know anything about it? Because there's a rest for you, you know. Yes, and making you to lie down beside the still waters of the promises of His Word. Old Nicholson, bless God for his memory, used to sing, and Frank knows about it, he used to sing every night, lean upon the arms of Jesus. Just lean upon His arms. Oh, what a wonderful thing, you know. It's a great thing when your mind and heart and soul begins to lean upon the Lord. You know, some years ago I went into Purdisburn to see an old man called John Shaw. He was out of his mind. And like I said from this platform some time ago, you could lose your senses, you know, without losing your salvation. That goes for anybody in here. Any one of us could get to a place where we could lose our senses. I could lose my senses, but I will never lose my salvation. That bit's settled. I'm perfected forever by the work of the cross. John Shaw was gloriously saved, but lost his senses. And sometimes he became so terrible that it took about three men to hold him.
And one day I went in, and the doctor was there who knew me very well, who was brought up with the surgeon that I worked with for a long time. And he said, Willie, you end to see John Shaw? I said, yes. He said, you've never seen him like this. He's lifting three men off the floor. I said, come on down, you see me stopping him. He said, you'd never stop him. And here's three big men, I'm sure, one or two of them as big as Cooper, and he's lifting them. This old fellow's lifting them right off the floor. And the froth was on his mouth, and he was kicking and smashing. And I said to the boys, hold on to him until I get down on my knees beside him. And I got down beside him, and I began to quote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And before I got to the middle of the psalm, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, he was beginning to calm down. And when I got right through the psalm, I said, hallelujah, what a shepherd. And John Shaw said, hallelujah, what a shepherd. And then I began to quote, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And when I got through the whole 53rd of Isaiah, I said, hallelujah, what a savior. And John Shaw said, hallelujah, what a savior. And he's perfectly still now. I said, leave him alone for a minute. Now, while I could keep on quoting, I could keep him still. Because there's something inside him that responded to this. Yes, he knew the shepherd, and he knew the Savior. And when I quoted, the Lord reigneth, yea, the Lord reigneth in power and glory, and I went on to quote it, highest place that heaven affords, and so on. John Shaw was quite calm, but when I stopped, you can see him beginning to move again. Poor old fellows, not able. Only while I can keep him looking at the Lord. Ah, there's a rest for you. The IRA upset you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is more true than we think. Look full in his wonderful face. Oh, just to see his face. The Baptists don't disturb me, you know. I don't look at them. I look at him. I look full in his wonderful face. And I'll tell you the things of earth and the miserable things of earth grow strangely dim somehow. Light of his glory and grace, and you need to get there. You need to look at him, and then you need to look unto him, run the race with patience looking unto him, and then you need to look for him, because he's coming back again. Now there's rest for you only when you're looking at him. Don't get your eyes on the wrong thing now. Did you notice the last word? It was wait on the Lord. It's a mighty little phrase, isn't it? And I'm taking it like this, that when Paul went to Thessalonica to preach the gospel, when he's writing the letter to the saints that got saved, he said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, it was a mighty time of preaching the gospel with the power of God sent down from heaven. He said, ye turn to God from idols. Mind you, I want you to get that. They didn't turn. They didn't turn to idols, you know. They turned to God from idols. They didn't turn from idols to God. They turned to God. God captivated them, drew them. This is what Dr. Chalmers called the expulsive power of a new affection. They had fallen in love with something new. Yes, our gospel came in power, and ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now here's the bit, and to wait for his Son from heaven, waiting for him this morning. You know, one of these days he'll come. What a moment it will be, preached on this moment once from this platform. It'll be the moment when the saints go marching in, and hell and all belonging to it will be left outside. What a moment it will be. It will be the moment when the symbols on this table disappear. Precious to us this morning, bread and wine, reminding us of the body that was given and the blood that was shed. But we'll only have the table on till he comes. And the symbols will disappear. Be the moment when the saints go marching in. It'll be the moment when the symbols disappear. It'll be the moment when the song begins. Then shall this corruptible, oh, cry, what a song it will be. We'll cry back at earth. Those who have been resurrected at that moment and brought out of the grave, they will say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? We're out now. Those who will leave this world and never die will say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Song will begin. We'll begin the eternal song. Be the moment when Satan will be trampled beneath our feet. What a moment that will be. We've had enough of trouble with him. It'll be the moment when we shall see Jesus as he is, in all his glory, the chief shepherd, the master of the house, the righteous judge. That moment. Yes. Hear our steps for you. You'll be in the storm one day. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Don't bluff it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. If you get the steps right, you'll be more than conqueror, no matter about the darkness of the night. God bless you.